in this place. Boy, I got chill bumps this morning. It just really just hit me so strong just then. You know, the scripture says that one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every knee will bow. I'm thankful we can bow our knee now to Jesus. We don't have to wait till that day. Because there'll be those on that day, they will bow in submission, knowing that they have turned away from God. They rejected God. But we can bow our knee gladly and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give God a hand clap of praise, everyone. So stand. Let's get our Bibles in our hands. If you don't have your Bible, hold your hand up. Praise the Lord. I know we have so many on spring break and away from us traveling, but I wish they were all here for this word I have this morning. But we do have CDs, so we can get to them on CD. And Jamie, if you will, as soon as you can, I need you to post this morning's message for me, please, on our website. But repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. God blessing and His touch, it just overwhelms me sometimes. Turn in your Bibles this morning to a scripture. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Now by my watch, it's about 22 minutes till 12. I'm going to need about 32 minutes, okay? I'm going to need to keep you over about 10 minutes. Is that okay this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. I was looking on my outline here. 3:16:08, I preached this message. See, what's that, 7, 9 years ago? And I know I've touched on it since then, but God's laid on my heart to preach this again today. And I pray that you'll be blessed by it and that God will bless me. I got excited. I nearly went to shouting as I was studying this week. Now, this is new. It's not all old. It's a lot of new stuff I've learned in this time since then. But today I want to title my message, The Seven Places the Blood Fell. The Seven Places the Blood Fell. If you get a hold of this, this sets you up for Easter right here, okay? If you get a hold of this today, let me tell you something. You will never live a defeated day the rest of your life. You hear me? If you get a hold of this word today, you'll never live a defeated day the rest of your life. Every day from now on, you will be the victor and not the victim. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, we talk about the blood of Jesus. I'm going to bring it home to you today. And you're going to see there's seven things Jesus bought and paid for by shedding His blood. He shed His blood from seven different parts of His body. In seven different places. In seven places the blood fell. And each one was to redeem us from something. I'm going to tell you this is special to me. Because seven is God's complete number, amen? God didn't die for us to just struggling and mope along through life. God died, Jesus died on the cross for us to be made whole, amen? Whole in every area of our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. In other words, you weren't redeemed from the sin that was passed upon you by Adam and your forefathers by silver and gold and statues and idols and things like that. No, but with the precious what? Blood. With the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. If you would take someone's hand next to you, let's pray together as family of God this morning. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being able to be here today. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to go to church, but we get to go to church and be with you today. Lord, that anointing, that presence, that feeling of your Spirit here today. Oh, Lord, thank you. We pray, God, you'll touch us from the pulpit all the way to the pew in the back, wherever our people are, the children's church going on right now. Everyone, touch each one at the point of their need. I pray now for unction to preach and a ready turn of thought, the words to say. And I pray, God, you'd open hearts and minds to receive this word. Lord, we bind every spirit contrary to the Holy Spirit. And we say, Holy Spirit, have your will and your way in this place. We plead your blood, Lord Jesus. And we ask all this for your glory and our good in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Can y'all keep a secret? I told Harry, don't tell nobody, and Gina, but I'm going to be leaving, going out of town when I leave here today, going to West Virginia to preach a revival. And I need you to pray that God will bless that revival and pray that we don't have any burglars at my house while I'm gone or anything like that. But pray that God will keep all of my family and all of you, my flock, safe and sound, and us too traveling, that God would be with us. I just felt impressed. I need to tell you that. Well, there are seven places that the blood fell. And Glenda, you can turn to these scriptures, put them on the screen, because I'm going to quote them, paraphrase some of them for sake of time. But the first is found in Luke 22, verse 43 through 46. It's the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the first place where Jesus shed blood. I don't know if you remember that or realize that, but the Bible says he was in great agony of spirit because he knew what was coming in just a few hours. He knew how his father would turn his own back on his son while he hung on the cross because his son would be stained with sins of all people of all time. And so in great agony he prayed there. And the Bible says that when he prayed, there were great sweat drops of blood that came out of his skin. I won't bore you with a big 50-cent word for that, but there is a condition that can happen to people when they are under such great stress that they will literally sweat blood. Blood will come out of the pores of their skin. And that's the first place that the blood fell. And it is very significant. It's not a coincidence that he shed his blood in a garden. Amen? Because it was in a garden where man fell from God. It was in a garden where man became in need of blood being shed to pay for his redemption. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus shed that blood, just like every other of the seven times when he shed his blood, he bought something back for us. You know what he bought back? He bought back our willpower. Our willpower. In that prayer he prayed there in the garden, he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Nevertheless, nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He bought back our willpower. That means that I don't have to just let everything that comes in my head come out my mouth. A lot of people do that, don't they? If it comes up, it comes out. We don't have to do that. We can take authority. We can take authority. So a lot of you nodding and elbowing people, I say, okay. That means that I don't have to give in to whatever my flesh is telling me. I have the willpower. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Amen? So here is the first place that the blood fell. It is there in the garden of Gethsemane, which means the place of the press. There's a second place, and thank God that he purchased back our willpower for us there in the garden. Secondly, Matthew 27, verse 26. Glenda, if you'll put that up on the screen for us. This is the second place that the blood fell. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Matthew 27, 26. What happened here was Jesus shed his blood from his back. He was whipped. He was at the whipping post. They would take a man that was going to be scourged and they would take him to the whipping post. And they would tie him to the whipping post like this. And then standing off from him, 8-10 feet away, was what was called a Roman lictor, L-I-C-T-O-R. And he was a man, his whole job, he was trained in how to work what was called the cat of nine tails. It was braided leather with pieces of fragments of steel, cable wire coming out of it. And he could work that whip and twist his hand and make it pop in such a way that metal in the braided in the leather would grab hold of the flesh and twist and rip it off. A lot of people succumbed to the whipping and never made it to the cross. They died right there. And you could see bones. I mean, it would rip it on down. And at this place, Isaiah 53, Glenda, find that verse. It says that with, verse 5, and with his stripes we are what? Healed. Now I want you to know something, brothers and sisters. I know we were healed for salvation, but this is literally healing of our bodies. He purchased, he bought back our healing. In the garden before man failed, nobody ever got sick. Amen. Nobody knew what a headache was. Adam and Eve never had a headache till they sinned. Adam and Eve never had a cold, never had the flu, never had gout, never had arthritis or whatever it might be. They never had cancer before the fall in the garden. And Jesus, when he came to not just buy us our salvation, but he came to make us whole, okay? I want you to know I'm a Baptist that believes in the healing power of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible says that with his stripes we're healed. Do you know, listen to this. They would always give just 39 stripes. We know that because of Josephus, and the Romans were very litigious and meticulous in their record keeping. And they did things, they were almost like the Nazis or something. I mean, everything had to be done a certain way. And you always gave them exactly 39 lashes. Because the judgment was to give them 40. But they felt like they gave 39, they were showing some mercy and grace. And they were a great people, the Romans were. But they also knew that through doing this so many times that if they went just one more, a lot of times people would die. And sometimes they died at 39. Listen to this. Science tells us, medical science tells us that there are 39 diseases from which all other disease emanates. In other words, there are 39 root diseases in the world. And from those 39, every other disease has mutated and come from one of those 39 branches of disease. And brothers and sisters, I think it is not a coincidence. He took 39 lashes on his back. That means if you got cancer, Jesus is the answer. If you got problem in your mind and you have depression, Jesus is the answer. If you need to be healed where you can walk again, Jazzy, Jesus is your answer. Hallelujah. He is the healer. He is the healer. And don't try and tell me, well, I don't believe in healing, because it's too late, baby. I done seen him. I've seen him heal me. I've seen him heal me. I was supposed to be dead at 6 weeks of age in a Volkswagen car hit by a transfer truck on the way to my baby appointment in Savannah. And my mama, nearly decapitated, crawled out of the bed in the ICU and got on her knees and said, God, if you let my baby live, because I had terrible head injuries, no car seats back then, if you let him live, and they didn't think I would, said, I'll give him to you to be a minister of the gospel. And she never told me that till I told her I felt called to preach. Let me tell you something. I know God heals. I've seen him heal people at this altar time and time again. I've seen him heal people in hospitals. I've seen him heal some of you. And brothers and sisters, he is the healer. And he bought it back with the stripes on his back. The blood fell at the whipping post from his back. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. There's a third place that the blood fell. Matthew 27:29, Glenda. Matthew 27:29. And here it comes. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee and they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. A crown of thorns. When they pressed that onto Jesus' head, blood began to flow, Dustin, and run down his face. From his brow, blood was shed. That's the third place the blood fell. From his brow. You see, we were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And it's through his blood that we have been reinstated positionally with the blessings and privilege enjoyed by Adam and Eve. The curse is broken. They lived in blessing and favor in the presence of Almighty God. When Adam was obeying God, he had everything he needed. But when he disobeyed God, a curse fell upon all man. And the Bible says, and you can put this up there, Genesis 3:17-19. A curse that was declared upon the land was this: thorns and thistles. Thorns and thistles will come. It would impact their growing. That's why we have to burn off our woods and burn off our pastures, those of us that have farms, because if we don't, they will take over. And I'm going to tell you something. This is very interesting. I'm reading some of this because these are my notes and I don't want to forget it. I don't want to leave something out. He was told that by the sweat of your brow or your face, you will get what you need. Matthew 27:29 clearly tells us that a crown of thorns was placed on Jesus' brow. Why a crown of thorns? The crown of thorns is a symbol of poverty. It's a symbol of poverty. And so it was placed on him by the Romans because they said, he's just a poor, broke, no good so-and-so. So they made him a crown, mocking him. He says he's the King of the Jews. They had no idea what they were doing, did they? Because when they put that crown of thorns that represented poverty on his head and carry, as blood began to drip from his forehead and around his precious head, let me tell you, redemption began to flow. And restoration began to flow. And you say, well, what did it flow to? What did it mean? It meant that God was going to restore us in our prosperity. Yeah. Let me tell you something, work is good. But blessed work is far better. You know, I have worked and worked and worked. I remember when I came back from Jacksonville, I got a job doing landscaping. I had a contract to landscape a bunch of houses at a subdivision at Kingsland, Georgia, the sub base there. And I had a bunch of houses I was doing. And man, I was working for this guy. And the first day I made $500 in a day. I said, my God, this is good money. I might just quit preaching. This is good now. Lord. And it went smooth that day. Next day it didn't go quite as smooth. Couldn't find my bushes and stuff to put out around the house. Tore up the tractor. Third day I couldn't get any sod. And I had to drive here and there just to get a piece here. Let me tell you something. It got to where I was making less than minimum wage by the time I figured driving from Statesboro to Kingsland, 1 hour and 40 minutes each way. And I'm going to tell you something. You can work, 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 and still be impoverished. But let me tell you something. When you walk in God's anointing and you walk in His blessing and you put Him first in those things, you need to put Him first. If you want to be blessed financially, put Him first. You give what's God back to God. And then you trust Him and ask Him to guide you, and He'll bless you in your finances. And I'm going to tell you, when that blood was shed from His head, He was restoring us to what He wanted us to have. We're called a royal priesthood. Let me tell you what. People talk about how poor Jesus was. Jesus wasn't poor. He owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's more than Dustin's got. He owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. As one fella said, he owned the taters under them hills too. He has a city where they use gold for asphalt and pearls for gates. You say he's poor? Let me tell you something. Brothers and sisters, God wants to bless us. I'm not saying He wants to make us rich like that guy that owns the computer company, Gates or whatever his name. But let me tell you, He'll meet our needs. He'll meet our needs. And that's all we need, right? Hallelujah. So the blood fell from His brow. And that redeemed us from our poverty. Let me tell you, there's a spirit of lack and a spirit of poverty, folks. And I'm going to tell you, that's not of the Lord, okay? I want you to know that's not of God. That is not of God. A spirit of lack and a spirit of poverty, that's not from God. And I'm going to tell you, if you can't get out of that, are you tithing? If you're robbing God, you'll never be blessed. I'll just say that and leave it there, okay? I want you to come back next Sunday. All right, let's get on to number 4. Y'all still with me? I know I'm doing some teaching and some preaching today. Number 4. Psalm 22, Glenda. Verse 15, look at verse 18. Psalm 22, 18. She can get there quicker than I can turn it. That's why. They part my garments among them and cast lots. That's not it. Go to verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Next verse. For dogs have compassed me. That's talking about the Romans. They were Gentiles and they were dogs in the eyes of the Jews. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced, that's it, my hands. Pierced my hands and my feet. John 19, I won't turn there, but verses 16 through 18, it tells us about how they drove nails into Jesus' hands. That's the fourth place the blood fell. Everybody say the fourth place. Now hold up your hands, do like that. Look at your hand. Do you have nail scars in your hands? No. You know why? Because somebody else took them for you. His name's Jesus. And when He took those nails in His hands, redemption flowed from that blood flowing from His hands. And you know what it was for? It was to buy back our authority. Our authority. The hands represent our authority. Think of kings. They would wear a ring with a signet or a symbol that was raised in relief on that ring, and they would press it into warm wax to seal important documents. The hand, God talks about the right hand of His strength. David said, if I ever forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand lose his cunning. The right hand of God. That's where Jesus is seated, at the right hand of God. It represents authority, okay? And when Jesus took those nails in His hands, He bought back your authority. You say, well, what does that mean, my authority? What does that mean? Well, you see, before Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, they had dominion over all the earth. Dominion. God said, take dominion over all the earth. And they had it until they failed. Jesus restored our authority. And what I want you to understand is this. The devil is here trespassing. He's a freeloader. And many people are afraid of the devil. Let me tell you something. I heard this story about this man. He was on his way to a costume party at Halloween. He was dressed like the devil. And on the way there, he traveled one town to the next. He broke down on the way in the middle of the country. Thought, my gosh, what am I going to do? So he gets out of the car in this red devil suit with a pitchfork. Then he's walking and he sees a church and they're having service. So he walks up there to the church and he opens the door, and as he cracks the door, they're all singing, "Praise God, glory, hallelujah." And he opens the door and the door creaks and people turn around and they said, "My God, it's the devil." They said they started sailing out the windows, running out the doors. One fella said, "I bet there was some runs and some pantyhose." They was running out of their pantyhose. Everybody left except this one little black lady, about 95 years old. And as he's walking down the aisle, she stood up, she had her cane. And she stood right there in front of him, didn't flinch. And she said, "Hold it right there, Mr. Devil. I just want to tell you one thing. I really been on your side the whole time." A lot of people are afraid of the devil. Let me tell you something. God's giving you authority over the devil. You don't have to let him run roughshod over your family, over your health, over your business, over your friends, over your mind and over your thoughts and over your willpower. You take authority over that devil. I'm not afraid of the devil. I've told this many times, but when Tim and I were in Africa one time on a mission trip, this girl at breakfast that was from another group that was from Sweden or Switzerland or somewhere in Europe, she said, "Oi, just could not sleep last night because of the witch doctors outside the walls." And she kept going on and on. She said, "This is terrible." Finally, I got enough and said, "Lady, let me tell you something. Are you saved?" "Why, yes." "That means you're covered in the blood." "Yes." I said, "Why are you afraid of those witch doctors? They can't do nothing to you." "Let me tell you, I don't worry about somebody trying to put a hex on me or put the bones on me or get you all the, what do you call them little dolls you poke? Voodoo dolls or Ouija boards or chain letters. I don't care what you can't hurt me. I'm covered in the blood and you are too." Amen. Jesus bought back our authority when that blood came out of his hands. He said, "The authority is bought back for them." Hallelujah. Take your authority. Don't let the devil do what he wants to do. The next place, y'all still there? I'm about through. The fifth place that the blood fell was from Jesus' feet. There our verse again. "And they pierced my hands and my feet." This is very important. Because what this represents is that when the blood flowed from his feet, it represented that Jesus had bought back our walk with God. The Bible says that Adam and Eve walked and talked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. Can you imagine what that's like? You'd be walking, got your fishing pole, and you got God, Jesus, walking right there beside. "Hey, you look, go catch some fish. I know you know the good places now." I mean, they walked and talked, but that relationship, that walk was broken. It was halted there in the garden. Jesus, when that blood was shed from his feet, he bought back that walk with him. But I'm going to tell you, it also represents something else. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that wheresoever the soles of your feet shall touch shall be yours. Let me tell you something. We need to claim. We need to start walking through our neighborhoods and claim them back from the drug dealers. Amen. From the pedophiles and the perverts. We need to walk into our schoolhouses and say, "I'm claiming prayer's going to be back in this place again." We need to walk back into our capital and our courtrooms and say, "God's coming back again." Where the soles of your feet touch, you can claim that. And you walk in relationship with him. Hallelujah. My God, that's good to me. I shout my own self down. Glory. I'm going to get the tape myself when I leave. This is good. I'm going to listen to this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want you to understand, when I'm talking about all these places the blood fell, and I got two more, I'm not saying, listen, when Jesus shed his blood on Calvary, the primary, number one, way above everything else reason was to pay for our sin debt. Okay? I know that. But there were seven places the blood fell, and everyone's for a reason. Y'all ready for the last two? I'm going to try not to be a storyteller and have you out of here by a quarter after. John 19, verse 31 through 34. This is the sixth place that the blood fell. John 19, 31 through 34. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, it was the Day of Atonement, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Next. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified with him. The one on each side of him, they broke their legs because they weren't dead yet. Next verse. But, everybody say but. Say neighbor. Elbow them good one time. Don't you dare go to sleep. All right, everybody say but. But, I'm not trying to show my butt. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. Verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Blood. You see that? What does that mean? Well, this is the sixth place that the blood fell from his side. You know what that represents? The blood and the water. Jesus told the people at the feast, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water if you believe on me. The kingdom of Romans 14 verse 17 says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, when he shed that blood from his side with that water, he was purchasing back the anointing, the presence, the fellowship, the not only relationship, but the fellowship and the peace and the blessing that comes through the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That living water. Let me tell you, I'll never forget the first time I tasted that living water. I used to think there was nothing like Lord Calvert. And I can't even think of his name. Some guy's name. I used to love tequila. I drink tequila. Lord, eat the worm. Y'all can't imagine such a preacher doing that. Why wasn't you a preacher then? Budweiser? Oh, I knew him personally. But I'm going to tell you something. When I got a drink of that living water, I'm going to tell you, I had never been thirsty again. That's the truth. It just keeps bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. That living water was restored to us when he shed that from his side. Amen? It was restored. And that's a great blessing, folks. Have you ever gone through a hard time and you didn't have anybody there but God, and you felt the Lord's presence, and something just all of a sudden came over you and gave you peace? That's the Holy Spirit. Have you ever got happy and you just couldn't help but shout or smile? I know some of you real straight Baptists, and I mean, you raise hands like this. I say, everybody raise your hands, praise the Lord. Some just a little bit more lenient, they kind of go. They get about half-mast. Then once in a while you get somebody that just go all out. See, glory to God. Hallelujah. Just let it out, baby. It won't hurt you a bit. Come on. It won't hurt you a bit. Let me tell you something. When I get up in the mountains preaching places, I go to these churches in the mountains, you can't tell the Baptists from the Pentecostals from the, I mean, they all praise the Lord like that. Glory to God. Last place the blood fell. Can I give it to you? Say, let me have it. That's dangerous. John 19, verse 3, Glenda. See, I'm giving you Bible for everything I'm telling you today. That's the way I believe it needs to be, by the Bible. John 19, verse 3, Glenda. Wake up, Glenda. Somebody shoot an elbow to Glenda. Well, here it is. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." That's what the Romans said to him. And they smote him with their hands. In other words, over and over. These were not no little wusses, okay? These were legionnaires. These were like the Marines. This was like the Rangers of the army. And they hit him over and over in his face. The famous historian Josephus saw Jesus. Saw Jesus after this as he walked down the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross. And Josephus said he was unrecognizable. That's why the prophet said he will have no comeliness or no beauty. They beat him to a pulp, probably shattered even bones in his face. But the point is, there were bruises. Bruises. What is a bruise? It's an internal injury. It's something that doesn't gush out blood like a spear wound or a nail print or hole or a cat of nine tails whipping your back. A bruise is bleeding on the inside. The Bible says, and Glenda, you can find that scripture, he was bruised for our iniquities. That word iniquities in the Hebrew literally means our vile sins. I'm going to tell you, before I got saved, I've still got a long way to go, okay? I got a long way to go. Before I got saved, I did so many bad things. And I think that's part of why I drank and did the things I did to cover it up, because I was hurt on the inside. I was hurting myself. I mean, somebody's married, I didn't care. I chased them. It was Sunday. Sunday was no different than me from Saturday night. I just drank from Saturday into Sunday. We always said that's the best way to get over a hangover. Just go on and drink some more. I tried to kill people. Tried to. Thank God he didn't let me. I've shot at people, hit people in the head with cue sticks, shattered their skull, thought they were dead. Thrown knives at my best friends. I'm not playing. I'm talking about trying to hit them. It's a good thing I was drunker than they were. They would have got stuck. And then there's those wounds where we've been hurt. And nobody knows it but you. It's on the inside of you. And you can look tough and you can have a strong facade and a smile on your face, but on the inside it hurts, don't it? That's why when some people will say certain things to you, it triggers that pain again, and it still, it hurts. I know things that we go through and you go through with our children. Little girl, and she didn't even know what she was saying. She said, Jesse can't be in the play because she can't do her lines. She can't remember them. That hurt me. Jesus, that hurt me. For her. And you've been hurt. Bruises. And he was bruised for our iniquities. But praise God. Praise God. Blood flowed It might not be blood that was seen, but blood flowed on the inside. That's part of what came out when the spear pierced him. I thank God that he has shed blood in that seventh place from his bruises. Those places, Brad, that nobody, Ashley, that nobody knows about but us and God. And he can heal those wounds that nobody else, a doctor, can't even find, but God knows right where they are. What an amazing Savior we have. How much he loves us. And with his stripes, we are healed. We may get hurt along the way, but we're not victims, folks. We're mighty through God. We're more than conquerors. And he loves us that much. Let's all stand. Pastors. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head, close their eyes as Gina plays this on the piano. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many would say, Pastor, I have wounds and I have bruises? How many would just lift their hands right now and say, you talking to me, Pastor? Amen. How many would say, Pastor, I need the healing touch of the Lord today? How many would say that? Amen. Hallelujah. Hands up all over this place, both times. Well, let's just pray this prayer. Say this out loud. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for shedding your blood for me. I know that every place you shed your blood was to redeem me and to make me whole. So today, Lord, I ask you to heal me. I ask you to comfort me and mend my wounds. Mend my bruises. I receive you, Jesus, as Savior, as Lord, my Redeemer, who bought me back. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, I don't think we realize how much we all need God's healing, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual. Some need financial healing, healing in their relationship. Let me tell you something. So many are hurt, and hurt people hurt people. Yes. If somebody's hurting you, you need to pray for them, because they're hurting. They're hurt somewhere. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to open the doors of the church. If you'd like to be a part of this church family, we'd like to welcome you into our church family today. Just want you to come down and tell me if you want to receive Jesus.